morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Friday, March 24th, 2006. I'm Becca Bartleson.
And I'm Martha Odom.
Coming up on KBOO Morning News, the Salem-Keizer School District is among six districts overbilled by an insurance company for years. The Oregonian has filed a motion for access to eavesdropping files. And fires erupt in Paris as young people protest a controversial employment law. Today's Portland area weather, showers likely, highs around 55. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, decreasing. Lows 35 to 40.
Marion County Circuit Court Judge Mary James upheld the governor's authority to push forward with stricter vehicle emission standards. The decision clears the way for Oregon to make the temporary tailpipe emission standards permanent. These standards are based on those in California.
Oregon regulators have revoked the insurance license of former Marsh USA executive Robert Lilly for his role in overbilling six school districts and a community college for more than $1.2 million. Among the school districts overbilled for insurance services was the Salem-Keizer School District. The overbilling went undetected for years. The district believed that the insurance company had never deceived and defrauded the school district. Marsh has returned the money, and the local school district no longer does business with the insurer. Lilly had served as Marsh's senior vice president. The overcharges occurred between 1994 and 2004. Marsh, after an internal audit in 2004, told Oregon regulators about the billing problems for seven clients served by Lilly. The company admitted it had improperly retained additional premiums from a half dozen school districts and Lane Community College. But a follow-up investigation by the state found that Marsh had overcharged a total of 22 public entities in Oregon. The entities overcharged by Marsh included Marion County and the City of Salem. When the overcharges were disclosed, Marsh refunded the money and fired Lilly. Lilly did not keep any portion of the excess charges. His motive for overbilling the school districts and the community college is unclear. Investigations of two other former Marsh employees by state insurance regulators are continuing. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
Convicted Salem politicians Dan and Victoria Doyle will not be able to escape $130,000 in state election law fines by declaring bankruptcy. A U.S. bankruptcy court judge has ruled that the Doyles don't qualify for a Chapter 13 bankruptcy or reorganization because their debts exceed the maximum allowed. The judge denied the Doyles' request to reorganize all of their debts and ruled that the state fines count even though they were assessed after the Doyles filed for bankruptcy. That put the Doyles' debt over the $307,000 cap allowed in Chapter 13 filings. The judge granted the Doyles 3 weeks to refile for bankruptcy using another option. The other option, Chapter 7, could enable the Doyles to cancel much of their $290,000 in other debts. However, Chapter 7 rules would not allow them to cancel state fines. Dan Doyle is serving a 10-month sentence in Marion County Jail for falsifying campaign finance reports from his 2002 and 2004 races for the Oregon House of Representatives, this according to the Statesman Journal.
Public employee unions helped ensure Governor Ted Kulongoski's election the first time around. This time they have turned their backs on the Democratic intensifying an already unpredictably primary race. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees became the latest defector, saying it would take a pass this year, according to the Oregonian. Also this week, the Oregon School Employees Association announced its endorsement of Kulongoski's opponent, former state treasurer Jim Hill. Two other big public sector unions have not endorsed anyone in the primary. The Oregon Education Association, which represents teachers, came close to backing Kulongoski's other opponent, Lane County Commissioner Pete Sorensen, but decided on no endorsement. The AFL-CIO, which gave Kulongoski a decisive boost in 2002 by endorsing him early in the campaign, had not endorsed a gubernatorial candidate. Although not necessarily fatal to his re-election hopes, the lack of support from unions comes as a blow to a man who once made his living representing blue-collar workers as a labor lawyer. It also deprives the Kulongoski campaign of the volunteers, mailing lists, phone banks, and most importantly, cash that unions typically offer candidates they endorse. Union officials say Kulongoski undercut his good standing with public employees when he froze state worker salaries and supported cuts in pension benefits in 2003.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman yesterday said that the city will offer as much as $5,000 for information leading to conviction in a case of illegal tree cutting in Markham Nature Park, branding it as one of the most outrageous examples of cutting without permission. Saltzman said he also has told city park officials to try for maximum penalty, triple the value of the 20 chopped down trees. Since the city has estimated their value at nearly $60,000, that means the Park and Recreation Bureau will seek more than $170,000 in all. Police continue to investigate. Park officials have speculated that the trees were cut to enhance views. Reported by passerby, in late January, the cutting happened within a protected forest area near Southwest Fairmont Boulevard. Police are asking anyone with information to call Central Precinct Detective Matt Horton at 503-823-0268, or for calls about suspicious cutting anywhere in the city, call Urban Forestry at 503-823-4489.
The Oregonian has filed a motion in federal court to unseal documents in a lawsuit that alleges the nation's spy agency illegally intercepted international phone conversations and email between the co-director of an Islamic charity and his two lawyers. The newspaper argues in a motion filed Friday in U.S. District Court in Portland that there is a great public interest in knowing whether the National Security Agency illegally wiretrapped communication between Solomon al-Bouth, co-director of the Ashland nonprofit Al-Harameh Islamic Foundation, and lawyers Wendell Bello and Asim Ghafour in Washington, D.C. The Al-Harameh suit was filed February 28th in federal court in Portland. It alleges that the surveillance was part of the Bush administration's warrantless eavesdropping program and occurred in March and April of 2004. Federal authorities have accused the Al-Harameh parent organization, based in Saudi Arabia, of having ties to Al-Qaeda. In matters concerning OPEC, Saudi Arabia is one of America's closest friends. Tom Nelson, attorney for Al-Harameh, in its suit against the government, said he originally requested that a judge review the documents in the case under seal to protect his clients. Nelson said yesterday that he would not be opposed to the Oregonian examining the material in the case with the caveat that any protective communication between attorneys and plaintiffs is eradicated.
On the clock, the time is 7:08, and at KBOO, it is time to call 503-232-8818 with your pledge, and here to tell you more about it is Aileen.
Hi, this is Gretchen, actually, and I'm here volunteering at KBOO, inviting you to call 503-232-8818. This is the news program. I listen to the KBOO News every morning because it's one of the few sources for objective, independent news. It's not under any corporate control. It's not under government control. If you want independent news on a broad basis, local, national, international news, then KBOO's the place to go. KBOO trains every month about 15 to 20 people, and they do that because people like you call in and help with the funding for that program. 503-232-8818. Call now. We need the funds. These 15 to 20 people are trained in specific skills for radio broadcasting in order to support this local programming. In order to have the volunteers come down here, they have to be trained, as well as having the equipment available to produce the news that you're listening to now. And the way that we do that is with minimal funding. We squeeze what we can out of every nickel, but we still need those nickels. And we need you to call 503-232-8818. If independent, objective news is important to you, that's how you support it. Call now, support KBOO. The board of directors down here is members just like you. I mean, it's not some corporate board. And you can support their efforts, too, by calling 503-232-8818. Okay, And we have a news throughout the day. We have a hour-long news broadcast every weekday afternoon. We train adults and young people in the community to do news broadcasting, and you get news on cable you won't hear anywhere else. Thank you, and call now.
Today marks the 17th anniversary of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. In 1989, the ship ran aground, dumping 11 million gallons of oil into Alaska's Prince William Sound. It was one of the largest environmental disasters in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of coastal animals were killed, including seabirds, whales, sea otters, and bald eagles. 2 weeks ago in Prudhoe Bay, over 200,000 gallons of oil spilled into a caribou crossing area. The cause, a 1/4-inch corroded hole in the oil pipeline, which was not discovered for 5 days. The spill was the largest ever in Alaska's North Slope. Environmental advocates say these two events are examples of the risk of oil extraction. They cite the examples in opposition to proposed drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, the only 5% of the Arctic coastline not open to oil and gas development. Last week, the Senate passed a budget resolution that would open the Arctic Refuge to drilling. Oregon Senator Gordon Smith voted for it despite a campaign promise to vote against drilling in the refuge. The House will likely take up its budget resolution next week with a vote on the House floor as early as the first week in April.
Prosecutors argued that a Texas appeals court Wednesday that some of the criminal charges against Representative Tom DeLay should be reinstated. A lower court judge dismissed a conspiracy charge against DeLay in December, agreeing with defense arguments that a conspiracy law did not cover election code violations when the alleged offense was committed. But prosecutors said yesterday that Texas prohibition on using corporate money in political campaigns is a felony and should be subject to the state's criminal conspiracy law. The three-judge panel of the Texas Third Court of Appeals was not expected to rule for at least a month. DeLay, who is trying to win re-election to Congress while under indictment, did not attend the hearing, where attorneys mostly focused on technical legal questions. He spent the day campaigning in what many consider his most serious election challenge since voters sent him to Congress in 1984. The Republican faces Democratic former Representative Nick Lampson in November.
As debate over the issue flares in several states, a major adoption institute says in a new report that it strongly supports the rights of gays and lesbians to adopt children and urges that remaining obstacles be removed. Laws and policies that preclude adoption by gay or lesbian parents disadvantage the tens of thousands of children mired in the foster care system who need permanent loving homes, the Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute says in the report to be issued today. It advises agencies and officials to make firm statements in support of such adoptions, forsaking a don't ask, don't tell approach, which prompts some gays to feel their chance of adopting hinge on being discreet about their sexual orientation. The Institute said adoption agencies should energetically recruit gays and lesbians, including them in outreach programs and parenting panels. The report arrives on the heels of a nationwide poll by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press that found public approval of gay adoption is increasing. In 1999, 57% of Americans opposed the practice and 38% approved, while the new poll found 48% were opposed and 46% in favor, with a margin of error of 3%.
A coalition of 16 human rights organizations has urged Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo to withdraw a bill that criminalizes gay rights. The group, included Human Rights Watch, says the bill contravenes international law and rights to freedom of expression, association, and assembly. The Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act, which is about to be submitted to the National Assembly, calls for 5 years imprisonment for any person who marries someone of the same sex or who takes part in the ceremony. It also prohibits the registration of gay clubs, society, and organizations.
Cars were torched and shops burnt in central Paris last night after the seventh big protest in 8 days against the government's controversial employment law ended in clashes between hooded youth and riot police. This according to The Guardian. The youth group on the pavement of the Esplanade des Invalides, one of Paris's main boulevards, and armed themselves with baseball bats, wooden sticks, and metal bars. Students moved toward the city center chanting protests against Prime Minister Dominique de Villepin and the Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy. The armed youth began to sneak up the side of the crowd. Covering their faces with tracksuit hoods and scarves, they moved fast in groups of 20 to 30. Several car windows had been smashed and a bus shelter destroyed. 2 hours later, hundreds of riot police had sealed off the entrances to streets leading to government ministries. Several groups of teenagers began smashing cars and shop windows. Villepin is now embattled on all fronts over his controversial first employment contract, known as the CPE. Sarkozy has distanced himself this week, suggesting there should be a 6-month trial period for the law, which would make it easier for employers to fire workers under 26 years of age. The government says such flexibility will encourage companies to hire young people and slash unemployment. The Daily La Parisienne yesterday quoted an unnamed political source close to the president, Jacques Chirac, saying that if the controversy did not surprise, Villepin could be sacked.
Police stormed the opposition tent camp in the Belarusian capital, Minsk, early this morning. They detained scores of demonstrators who had spent a fourth night in Central Square to protest President Alexander Lukashenko's victory in a disputed election. The arrest came after a half dozen large police buses and 75 helmeted riot police with clubs pulled up to Oktyabrskaya Square in central Minsk about 3 a.m. The police stood around for a few minutes and then barged into the tent camp filled with protesters. By the end of the 10 to 15 minute operation, all of the protesters had been taken away, leaving only their tents, some gear, and garbage. City workers soon came and began throwing the remains of the camp into truck beds with two bulldozers that also dumped debris into the trucks. A stray dog wandered in during their operation was scrounging for food in what was left of the camp. Police have been detaining opposition supporters and would-be protesters away from the square, but today's arrest marked the first time they have tried to forcefully eject the demonstrators en masse.
Immigrants to the European Union may be asked to sign on to values of free speech and respect for all faiths in an integration contract, according to The Guardian. It is a sign of a growing determination to improve the integration of new arrivals. Interior ministers from the G6 group of EU countries said immigrants may be expected to learn the local language and accept that they face obligations. Wolfgang Schäuble, the German interior minister, who hosted the meeting with counterparts from Britain, France, Italy, Spain, and Poland, said, "Successful integration is always something that presupposes mutual rights and obligations." The ministers agreed to set up a working group to examine the integration contract first, suggested by French Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy. Britain has no plans to ask immigrants to sit a test or sign a contract. The proposed contract is a diluted version of a Dutch initiative. Immigrants are to be forced to familiarize themselves with the country's liberal values.
Suspected insurgents killed three policemen and wounded another in a drive-by shooting in West Baghdad this morning. North of the capital, more drive-by shooters gunned down three power station employees on their way to work in Taji. A roadside bombing targeting a police patrol in South Baghdad's Sayadia neighborhood killed another policeman. Nearby, a gunman broke into a bakery and killed four employees. Clashes between Shiite and Sunni Muslims have surged since the February 22nd bombing of a Shiite shrine north of Baghdad. Baghdad police said they discovered eight bodies, blindfolded and shot, in the Banouk and Qasimiyya neighborhoods of the capital today. Iraq body count estimates that as many as 37,895 civilian deaths have occurred due to the U.S. military intervention.
A Washington-based research group said it has obtained a declassified transcript of a staff meeting in which former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger expressed support for Argentina's past military regime soon after a 1976 coup. the National Security Archive, a Washington foreign policy group that has periodically released declassified documents covering the 76 to 83 dictatorship in Argentina, said yesterday the documents showed Kissinger convened a weekly staff meeting 2 days after the March 24, 1976 coup in Argentina. The NSA did not say how or when it obtained the transcript made public a day ahead of the coup's 30th anniversary. According to the NSA transcript, Kissinger was informed in the meeting by then Assistant Secretary for Latin America, William Rogers, that if the Argentine military regime succeeded, it would make a considerable effort to involve the United States, particularly in the financial field. Kissinger, the NSA transcript further stated, responded, "Yes, but that is in our interest." Kissinger, after further discussion about the new government, is quoted in the transcript as saying, "Whatever chance they have, they will need a little encouragement from us."
The police chief of the Mexican border town, Nuevo Laredo, has resigned after 8 months on the job amid a rash of recent drug-related killings. Omar Pimentel presented a letter of resignation to Mayor Daniel Pena hours after police found three charred bodies dumped by the side of the road leading into Nuevo Laredo. Police did not immediately know how the bodies got there or who was behind the killings. Pimentel, who surrounded himself with at least a dozen bodyguards toting automatic rifles, didn't give a reason for his resignation and didn't answer his telephone yesterday. He had served as director of the city's police academy before being named police chief in July.
A leading Israeli software company abandoned its plans yesterday to buy a smaller U.S. rival in a $225 million deal because of national security objections by the Bush administration. Checkpoint Software Technologies formally withdrew its proposal near the conclusion of a rare full-blown investigation by a U.S. review panel over the company's plans to buy a smaller rival, SourceFire, Inc. Checkpoint had been told U.S. officials feared the transaction could endanger some of the government's most sensitive computer systems. Lawyers for Checkpoint offered to attach conditions to the sale that executives believed were onerous but were intended to satisfy the concerns expressed by the review panel. The Treasury Department, which oversees the committee, formally accepted Checkpoint's request to withdraw from the review process. This ensures the panel will not be required to submit recommendations to President Bush whether to block the deal.
And now it's time for you to support your community radio station and call 503-232-8818 or out of the local area, 1-877-500-5266. And now we have some lovely volunteers to tell you more about it.
Yes. If you're listening right now, then the news matters to you. This is Gretchen. The news matters to me. That's why I'm here. Call 503-232-8818. There's commercial pressures all the time for community stations like ours to disappear. Commercialism runs the modern media, and KBOO's music and public affairs programming brings you news that you won't hear elsewhere. This is news you're not going to hear by tuning into commercial radio. You can be sure that KBOO will remain independent, and we want to continue our mission in that way, but we need your help right now. Call 503-232-8818. Make your pledge right now for the KBOO community. We have many thank you gifts down here. We have CDs and tickets to concerts, but that's not the reason to call. The reason to call is because you care. You're listening right now. This matters to you. You want this sort of information. 503-232-8818, and you can talk to the phone answerer about the possible premiums and thank you gifts that we have that might be of interest to you. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Thank you, everybody who's called in so far. We need about five people to call in right now and give us a little hand with the news here. This is news that if you've gone around the dial, you know. These are stories that don't get covered anywhere else. These people come in about 4:30 in the morning. They're volunteers. They look for the stories that are going to be interesting, that are important to KBOO listeners and the KBOO community. And this is all volunteer work. This isn't just delivered to the doorstep here. This is made right here in this building. So we sure would appreciate it if you give them a little support right now by calling 232-8818
right now.
Or 1-877-500.
A few more minutes in the news program, and we need those calls now. We can't wait. Don't put it off.
Yeah, 877-500-5266. We need to raise about $160,000 as pledge drive.
Not right now. Well, yeah, right now. Well,
you know, a little bit at a time. $20 here, $20 there, $10 here. That's the way we do it. We do it. We build it one stone at a time, and we get up to $160,000. That's what we made. I think we made a little more than that last pledge drive by $40 pledges, $60 pledges, people's generosity. We need you to pick up the phone and do that right now. Thank you.
I always think of it in the terms of coffee. How much am I going to spend on coffees or an occasional latte this week? And maybe that should go to KABU this week, you know? And
I tell you what, when I came into KABU in 1998, it was $40 for membership. And still $40 for basic membership.
A year.
And there's nothing that was the same price it was in 1998.
And you get to vote, and you get to come down here, take a tour of the station during normal working hours. And
meet a lot of interesting people if you come down here and answer some phones or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. They're interesting people. 503-232-8818, like Sheenan. Well, like you.
Yeah, you're looking at each other.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? But if you appreciate the news, you're obviously tuned in. You're tuned in specifically to KABU to hear this stuff. Please help us keep this on the air. It's about $80 an hour, year-round, 24 hours a day. And we don't waste your money. We spend it very carefully, and we get a lot of mileage for that. So give us a call right now, please. Thanks.
503-232-8818.
We got Melody and Ani warming up right now, so lots of exciting programming today on KABU. Again today on KABU. I want to thank everybody who came in this morning to answer phones. Mike and Carlton were here about 5:30. Ravia is here, engineering. So we got everybody's coming in here. So why don't you do your part and just call in and pledge a little support, and we can go forward.
I guess becoming part of KABU, you meet people. You do meet a variety of people, have a variety of experience. You hear a variety of news and music, and it really opens up your world. It gets you out of that rut. If you feel like you're in a rut in life, join KABU. 503-232-8818. You will no longer feel like you're in a rut.
And we are located, just in case you'd like to come by, keep inviting you, we should tell you where we are. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That's at 8th and Burnside. You'll recognize this as the Electric Blue Building.
Right here
with
in
all
Portland.
The people streaming
downtown
in to get
Portland.
To work. Downtown
it is.
Portland.
I remember the first tour I took of KABU. It was amazing. It was just like, wow, this is where it's happening. You mean that's all that it is? This little room and microphones and CDs and that's the station. It's amazing what all that can happen, how much impact it can have with very little overhead.
Okay, please call right now, 232-8818. Let's switch over to some more programming.
That was the KABU Morning News for Friday, March 24th, 2006. Portland area weather, today showers likely, highs around 55. Tonight mostly cloudy with scattered showers decreasing, lows 35 to 40. Saturday rain, highs around 50, lows 35 to 40. And Sunday mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and highs around 55 with lows 35 to 40. Thanks for joining us for this morning news. This morning's newscast was edited by Becca Bartleson and Chris Andre. Our engineer is Kathleen Stevenson. The KABU AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Martha Odom.
I'm Becca Bartleson.
Coming up tomorrow morning on KABU at 7:30, Ani and Melody host Positively Revolting Talk Radio. They'll speak with the authors of Unembedded, four independent photojournalists on the war in Iraq. At 9, it's a special presentation of a recent Portland lecture by David K. Johnston, author of Perfectly Legal, the covert campaign to rig our tax system to benefit the super rich. Johnston makes the case for a progressive tax system as a prerequisite for democracy. At 10:30, it's Boneheads and Bigots with Pat McGuire. And at 11, hear Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. And stay tuned for the KABU Evening News at 5 p.m. Think you've got the stamina to get up this early in the morning? Well, then come on down and help us out with the morning news. Please contact Kathleen Stevenson at amnews@kabu.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 202. This is KBOO, your community radio station, in Portland on 90.7 FM, K264AA in Corvallis at 100.7, and K220HR, Hood River, at 91.9. Have a lovely weekend.
This is the KBOO Community Calendar for Friday, March 24th. Today is the 24th Annual Community Wellness Fair. Come, bring family and friends to this free community health event. Learn the latest news about healthcare and wellness from professionals and vendors. Health tips, products, free health screenings, and more. This runs 10 to 2 p.m. at the Holiday Park Plaza on 1300 Northeast 16th Avenue. The Forest Film Festival, Portland's own international short film and video festival, is accepting film submissions for its third annual festival, held at the Clinton Street Theater, scheduled for Thursday, May 18th through Sunday, May 21st, 2006. For more info, go to www.forestfilmfest.com. Clinton Street Theater is located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. Tonight, there's a gear-shifting clinic at the Hollywood Bike Gallery, located at 5329 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. From 7 to 8 p.m., you can learn the finer points of good shifting habits. For more info, email amy@bikegallery.com. Take back the mic. Today you can see live performance by Siren Echo, and a spoken word performance and a student art show featuring works by Jefferson High School. You can attend all this tonight between 6 and 9 p.m. at the PCC Cascade Campus in the Morita Art Humanities Building in room 104. This is free to all. PCC Cascade is located at 705 North Killingsworth. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival season is off and running with indoor productions of the Shakespeare's The Winter Tale, plus The Diary of Anne Frank, The Importance of Being Earnest, and Bridget Carpenter's new play, Up. Seven more shows, including three summer productions on the outdoor stage, will join the rotating repertoire in a season that stretches through October. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is closed on Mondays. For scheduled plays and times, refer to the website at www.orshakes.org. Or call 541-482-4331. That was the KBOO Community Calendar for Friday, March 24th. I'm LaToya Hudson, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, Corvallis, and Hood River.
What's that coming up over yonder?
Well, that's the Bread and Roses, Horses, Women, and Cowgirls special.
When do you reckon it's going to get here?
On Friday, March 24th, 6 to 7 p.m. Cowgirls in the studio, a horse therapist, and folks calling in with their own horse tales.
Yeehaw!
Friday, March 24th, 6 to 7 p.m. on Bread and Roses.